Here we are. Welcome to this press conference. I'd like to start to, well, of course, some of you have been here before, some of you covered. First, the general outline of this press conference. We talked, I made an introduction, and then Mercy Wilson from Nobel Media will brief you on the activities on our website. And after that, Perina Schander from our museum here in Stockholm will also tell you some interesting things. And then we'll be happy to answer your questions. And some have also booked some individual interviews with me. Well, and then you have already seen the ample generous material we have on this year's Nobel Week. As you see from the material, there are 9 laureates coming to Stockholm. One, Professor Edwards, is for reasons of health unable to come, but the others are coming and have accepted to participate in this scientific cultural festival / orgy with all the different events, starting on the morning of the 6th, when the laureates and their closest family and friends come to our museum to meet each other and also be informed about the details about the Nobel Week, which they have been informed already before by our attaché. We get a lease from the Foreign Office, very competent attachés who are then our representatives, as it were. And one of them is here, Mr. Kai Renius, who is a long-standing veteran when it comes to Japanese laureates, taking care of them or helping them. So we have this get-together. And then there's the press conference for literature with Mario Vargas Llosa, and that's the only one. He is rather parsimonious with economic when it comes to his time. So, and then we have the press conference the day after at the Royal Academy of Sciences, where the scientific their quote unquote laureates are appearing, and there also, of course, there is no press conference with Professor Edwards. He isn't here, and there will be no Nobel lecture in physiology and medicine, but. Instead, there will be a symposium seminar with one of his closest collaborators and Swedish opposite numbers colleagues, expanding on the importance of his contribution and what has followed after that. Well, then there are, of course, a number of social events, receptions, and dinners. On the 8th, we take a small pause of culture with the Nobel concert in the concert hall. Then on the 9th, there's the taping of the Nobel Mines, which then later will be broadcast over the BBC World system. And then during lunchtime, the respective embassies are hosting lunches for their respective laureates. That is the only very valuable, appreciated, but only contribution the embassies here do for their laureates. Then we have a reception. And then on the 10th, it's D-Day, with rehearsal in the morning in the concert hall, and then the class ceremony at 4:30. and the packet at $1,900 sharp. And then the day after, their Majesties throw this party for the banquet for the laureates and other people, with about one tenth of the attendance we have. The banquet is 1,240 approximately persons, guests, and the king and queen they host some 110-120 guests. And then the laureates, they are invited for all kinds of different activities at universities around the school. So that is the basic outline, and it's the same every year, I have to say. What changes is, of course, the substance of the prices. And the persons who are awarded the prize, of course, we don't pay attention to nationality, but the countries from where they come pay some attention to their nationality, and therefore we're very happy to see the great interest from the countries concerned, including high-level representation on governmental ministerial level from a number of countries. And we also will be hosting two EU commissioners, one for research, and she was invited to research, and friends at the Royal Academy of Sciences to have a, if not open and friendly, but an open and friendly discussion about EU research policies. The other commissioner came in through family relationship. She's a cousin of Christophoros Antonou Pissaridis, a Cypriotic laureate in economics. And for the interest it might have, we speak Russian can tell you that one of the laureates is written as Novoselov, but he's Novoselov, pronounced Novoselov in Russian. Konstantin Novoselov. The two Russians are, Andrei Geim is now a Dutch citizen, whereas Kostya Novoselov has a double citizenship, both British and Russian. And Mario Vargas Llosa, he is also a double citizen, both Peruvian and Spanish. Because he spent quite some time in his life in Spain and acquired this citizenship. But it is the Peruvian Minister of Culture who is here representing the Peruvian government. But the Spanish Minister of Culture also came to the party because she's a friend of one of the publishers. So there's a plethora of ministers. Well, if we move on, Mercy Olson from Nobel Media will brief you.
Hello everyone, my name is Mercy Olson and I work as the Marketing and Communications Director for Nobel Media. And we're the company managing the media portfolio for the Nobel Prize, which includes the official website for the Nobel Prize, nobelprize.org. And we have a wealth of information that we're going to publish in connection with Nobel Week. First of all, we're going to have live webcasts of the Nobel lectures, which are starting on the 7th and on the 8th of December. And we will have presentation materials for the literature lecture. We will also have the lecture in text format in 5 different languages, Spanish, English, French, German, and Swedish, of course. And that is on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, we have the lectures in physics, chemistry, and economic sciences. regarding the Nobel Prize award ceremonies. Those will also be live webcast on the website. Of course, from Oslo, starting on December 10th at 1 p.m. And presentation speeches will be available on the website as they're being presented on the web at the ceremony, and texts as well will be available. For the Nobel Prize Award ceremony here in Stockholm, all the presentation speeches will also be available on the website. Regarding the Nobel banquet, we will publish the table of honor on December 9th on the website, and on December 10th we will publish the menu for the banquet, and the banquet speeches will be presented later on in the evening. And I just want to mention that with the live webcast, we also have a widget available. So any of your websites can grab this widget and you can show it on your own website or your blog, etc. So this is a service we're providing this year. I just want to mention some of the TV services for any foreign media that are interested in live feeds. You can contact me because we are offering, in conjunction with Swedish television, some services for foreign media, such as stand-up positions, commentary positions, about the live programs, tape playouts, etc. So please contact me if you require further information. And if you want to have a live feed from the events, that's being distributed by EBU, Reuters, and AP. So if you require further information for your local, for your own media, please let me know. And the official Nobel documentaries will also information about that as well. So I'll be here afterwards if you require further information.
Well, the presentation speeches are here also.
Hello, I'm
Lina
Schallow. I'm communication manager at the Nobel Museum. In 1994, Ole Soyinka found himself fleeing from the Nigerian regime. As he fled, he hid his famous hair under a hat to escape detection. When the Nobel Museum asked the literature laureate for permission to display an object that was meaningful to him, he chose this hat. The Peace Prize laureate Kofi Annan chose a bracelet that symbolizes the key to life. These are just a few of the objects on display in the Nobel Museum's new exhibition, Items for Your Consideration, Treasures from the Nobel Museum's collection. And this will open in February, so I hope I see everybody here again in February. In the almost 10 years since the Nobel Museum opened, we have collected artifacts, images, and other materials from Nobel laureates. The Nobel Museum is now using this material to retell the stories of more than 20 of these laureates in their work in this new exhibition. We have never before focused so much on our items. We usually focus on the Nobel laureates themselves and their creative endeavors. Our aim is to spread knowledge as well as to create interest and discussion around the natural sciences and culture through creative learning and exhibition techniques, modern technology and elegant design. If you should visit the museum, which I hope you will during this week, we are showing some temporary exhibitions. One is the exhibition The Missing Piece, Artists Considering the Dalai Lama. We wish to highlight the Nobel Peace Prize laureate of 1989, the 14th Dalai Lama. In this exhibition, artists representing different countries were asked to give their perspectives on the Dalai Lama and his endeavors. The exhibition features paintings and sculptures, as well as photography and video installations. Last Friday, we opened the Bookbinders exhibition of 2010. Our tradition of requesting bookbinders to bind copies of works written by the most recent winner of the Nobel Prize in Literature is now in its fifth year. In early 2010, a total of 34 Swedish and German bookbinders were given the task of providing their interpretations of two works by 2009 Nobel laureate Hetta Müller. And just a couple of days ago, we opened a small exhibition called Nobel in Rinkeby. Nobel laureates have been visiting students in Rinkebyskolan and Bredbyskolan schools just outside of Stockholm for 20 years. These encounters have given rise to joy and inspiration on both sides. We have just opened the exhibition in the museum, which details students' work on producing a booklet to be presented to this year's Nobel Laureate in Literature, Mario Vargas Llosa, when he visits the school. The exhibition also includes a compilation of past students' work from 1988 to 2009. And our fourth temporary exhibition will be opened December 11. In accordance with tradition, the museum will display a reproduction of this year's Nobel Prize diplomas. The diplomas are the results of cooperation between calligraphers, artists and bookbinders to create a unique diploma for each Nobel laureate. And I also want to mention the traveling exhibition, because our traveling exhibition, Alfred Nobel Networks of Innovation, opens today in New Delhi in India, and during autumn 2011 in Tokyo in Japan. And this exhibition presents Alfred Nobel. The visitors will learn more about his life, his networks of co-workers, business contacts and friends, and finally how he gets the idea to donate money for an international prize. So this was a little about the coming exhibition and our temporary ones. And next week, the Nobel Museum plans to celebrate the Nobel Week with everything from a visit of Claes Elfsberg and guided tours in coats and tails and evening gowns to the Nobel lunch, including a three-course meal and lecture. And of course, free entry on the Nobel Day. But we start on Monday. Our restaurant hosts the smallest exhibition in the museum. Underneath the chairs, Nobel laureates have written their names. And on Monday, this year's laureates will visit the museum and write underneath the chairs. The museum is usually closed on Mondays, but we are going to open up for media who wishes to take photos or film the chairs. And we will do that from about 12:30. So if you want to come, please give me your business card or take mine. It's outside on the table, just next to the press material from the Nobel Museum. And give me a call or email me so I let you in, so you don't have to stand outside and wait. And then on Tuesday, we have a big screen broadcast of the lecture in literature. It's a tribute to reading and poetry. That's the name of Mario Vargas Llosa's Nobel lecture. And it will be shown live on a large screen inside the museum, and it will be presented in Spanish, but translations into English, Swedish and German will be available. This start at 5:30 p.m. It's a free entry, but tickets must be reserved. And after that, at 6:30, we have a program called Inspired by Claes Elfsberg, a conversation with journalist and news anchor Claes Elfsberg about the art of crafting serious news reports about the Nobel Prize festivities. This is also a free entry, but tickets must be reserved. And then the Nobel Day, we have guided tours in coats and tails and evening gowns, tours in Swedish, 12:00, 1:00, 2:00, and 4:00 p.m. and tours in English in 11:15 and 3:00 p.m. At noon, it's the Nobel lunch, a three-course lunch with lecture, The Danger in Being Normal, by Nobel Museum's Peter Sandberg. We have a telecast from the Peace Prize Award Ceremony at 1:00. And of course, we have a free entry to the Nobel Museum all day. Special offers in our restaurant, Café Satir, and in our shop. That's a bit about the Nobel Museum and our program. So if you have any questions or want any further information, please contact me. Thank you.
Thank you for this information about the Nobel Museum. Well, questions?
Could you give us her email address? I think she's fully capable of giving it.
Also, the contact information for all these persons are in, is in the first manual. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, please.
I asked how much money you spend this year for the and also
well, the total budget for the Nobel Foundation per year is at the level of 120 million Swedish kronor. Out of that, 50 million. Financing the Nobel Prizes, that is 5 times 10. And then the Sveriges Riksbank cashes up, prints some money to finance the economics class, a member of that. But then we have, importantly, about 30 million, which is used for the Nobel Committee. And that is actually the most important part of the whole operation. It is the work of the Nobel Committee and the Committee for the Economics Prize, which create the standing of the prize. And there are lots of people around the world who would be able to pay prices at the level of 10 million Swedish group. They would be able to cast medals or design diplomas. But it's not. That's the visible part of the iceberg. The real thing is the work of the Nobel committees, the prize awarding institutions, special committees for the prizes, and that's what we are financing at the level of close to 6 million kroner per year.
Is the Nobel Week in Oslo going to cost less this year because the prices are coming?
Well, marginally, but the ceremony, the banquet, and those costs are there anyway. Yes, of course, it's slightly lower, but that's not a great difference. Usually it's one person and then a couple of friends who come. So that's not the difference. The ceremony in Oslo, there will be information given from the Nobel Institute in Oslo, but it seems absolutely clear that the laureate, Yushovo, is unable to come. But for the program, I would like to refer to our colleagues in Oslo. So we are not informing about what they are doing. They have their press conference and information, etc. But it will be basically the same procedure with the laureate absent. And it's unfortunately not the first time in history this happens. We had in 1936 also in Oslo when Karl von Ossietzky got the prize, German publicist, a journalist who had disclosed to the world the ongoing rearmament in Germany. And at the time he couldn't come either because he was confined to a KZ, a Konzentrationslager, where he later died. We had the great Russian, Sakharov and Solzhenitsyn, who couldn't come. For political reasons.
And Pasternak.
And Pasternak, yes, certainly. In Pasternak's case, he was forced to decline, first accepted the prize and then declined the prize. That was not the case with Sakharov and Solzhenitsyn. So, and also, of course, Aung San Suu Kyi in Burma, who has not been able to come and pick up her prize.
She is free now, so...
Yes, I don't know, I'm not informed about what extent she is free. There is this... Dictatorships have this, when they try to dress up and behave, or make an impression of behaving, they say, oh yes, please, you can go. But then you never can come back. And if you want to live in your...
But what's the rule of the Nobel Committee? If they can't come... For example,
yes.
What's the role of Nobel Committee?
Well, the prize remains with the laureate, and the board has discussed this and come to the conclusion that we have been looking thoroughly into our statutes, and the conclusion is that the money is with the laureate in this case because he is unable to come. It is if a laureate is able to come, but doesn't come and pick it up, or a signal that he received the money. Then, on the 1st of October, the year after, the money goes back into our purse. But in this case, it's obvious that the laureate is unable. Most probably would like to come, but is unable for, as it's said in dictatorships, objective reasons.
So who will come for Robert?
Sorry?
Who will come for the British?
For his wife will come. Professor Edwards' wife will come and receive the prize on behalf of her husband.
So is the first case that the lawyer is absent for the prize was coming this time?
Sorry?
This was the fourth time or fifth time the lawyer was absent for prize award ceremony?
I can't tell you actually. There were others who couldn't come. Einstein didn't come. The year after he came to Gothenburg and delivered a lecture there. But when he was awarded the prize, if I'm not wrong, he was on his way to Japan. So he said, "I'll come later." He came later. But there are very different reasons for people being absent. But these cases of where the authorities in their home country are making it impossible for them to attend, these are the ones.
So maybe for political reasons, as you said that. I'm not sure of his name, but German person Sakharov, and Auschwitz.
Yes.
And I think maybe.
And then Sakharov, peace laureate, and Solzhenitsyn, laureate in literature.
Yeah.
And Pasternak, of course, as Mr. Gurman here reminded me.
Do you know Russian embassy has any plans to celebrate Russian laureate?
The Russian ambassador and his wife are attending the ceremony. But as the only one of the two Russian laureates who is both, so to say, he has chosen to attend the British luncheon. So therefore. Well, the British ambassador would be there anyway, but he takes care of this Russian British citizen. In Oslo, there are a number of countries who have declined. There has been considerable pressure from, which is unheard of actually, by Chinese authorities to press the diplomatic corps in Oslo not to attend. And China, Russia, Kazakhstan, Cuba, Morocco, and Iran have declined. Now, I happen to see on the website that the Russian Minister of Foreign Affairs said that they didn't decline, the ambassador would be there because he had important other things to do in somewhere else. And I guess my colleagues are inviting his chargé d'affaires. If ambassador can't come, then his stand-in will be invited. We haven't heard from him.
Your comments?
Sorry?
Your comments?
No comments. Facts.
Just to clarify on the Liu Xiaobo's prize.
Sorry, on
Liu Xiaobo's prize in Oslo. On the monies, will someone pick up the money?
Well, it's not decided how, but the money will be reserved for him. And if he will be unable to pick up the money before the 1st of October next year, the board has interpreted the situation as such that it is not his will it's not by intent that he does not pick the money up. It is because he is impeded to do that. And then it's another situation.
How many times did the money come back to the fund?
Well, it's actually, to my knowledge, it's the Jean-Paul Sartre, he declined the price, so the money went back into
France.
But then you have three Germans who were awarded the prize in physics and also medicine, I think, in the late 30s. Mm-hmm. And they declined because they were. Hitler, well, I should say, the Nobel system has a good history of bad relations with dictatorships, and one of them is this instance when Fonosetsky got the prize, and Hitler became very upset and introduced a law forbidding Germans to receive the Nobel Prize, and introduced a prize of his own. Deutsches Nationalpreis für Wissenschaft und Kultur. And so these three gentlemen, they couldn't receive, they had to decline. And that money went back into the own capital of the fund.
So when Nobel Committee categorized any country as a dictatorship, then that country's law is not respected.
We are not dealing with countries. We're the Nobel committees. There are several. We're sitting in the foundation. We have to make that distinction. The Nobel committees, they award prizes to individuals for their contributions to science, literature, and peace. And later then the economics prize, Nobel for Nobel. They don't take into account the regimes in different countries. Then it so happens that the peace prize is, of course, intrinsically, basically political, of course, because peace is a political thing. But it so happens that, or has happened, that the prizes have not been. Have not been very appreciated by dictatorships. The foundation has no view other than the private, of course, on which country is a dictatorship or not. It's not the purpose of the operation. The purpose is to finance Nobel Prizes and finance the work of the prize awarding committees. Who pick the or find the most worthy candidate for that year?
So you don't want to criticize the nation's policy or something?
Sorry,
you do not want to criticize, for example, the Chinese government attitude this year or something.
We have no. The foundation has no position on that. It's the. The reason for the prize is clearly stated in the material from the Nobel Committee for Peace in Oslo, and that is that is the full story. So.
Have you made any attempts to contact, for instance, in the Chinese case now, to allow them to?
We have not taken any steps. That is dealt with by our Norwegian colleagues in Oslo. So they have certainly been granted. All the details are unknown to me, actually. But
that's not the role of the foundation.
No,
you would never do that.
No, no. Had it been in Stockholm,
Literature Prize,
mm-hmm. Yes, then we would have been doing that work here at the foundation. And we did, and when it came to Srebrenica. No, Sakharov was dealt with in Oslo, but Solzhenitsyn certainly, and Pasternak too.
So the spending in Oslo is included in the Nobel Foundation?
Yes, this is a part of.
You give the money to them?
Yes, they are us there, so to speak. It's just that one of the committees is in Oslo, okay, and the others are here.
It's a totally different topic.
Yes?
May I ask?
You may ask any question, as long as it's within Swedish law.
Yeah. Did Limashok have big influence on your fight?
Sorry, if Limashok?
Yes.
Yes, it had. Yeah. But that's old story. Last year, spring, we reported our annual financial statement report for the year 2009 and 2008 first, and that was down 19%, almost 20. Then we recovered in 2009 by 10% or so. But of course, it dented our capital seriously.
Are you sure to give the laureates some sort of money, or is it okay?
Yes, it's okay. It's okay. We will. We have said that we will award prizes this year, and we have said that each prize is 10 million Swedish kroner. And I can assure you, we have that money.
So, you've decided not
neither you nor the lawyers should worry about that.
Now you've decided not to invite any member of the SD new elected
yes,
party.
We have had basically over the last decades the rule to invite the party leaders. Some years we thought they could alternate, so one year they wouldn't come, but then we have been inviting them. And we have been invited all the seven party leaders as last year, but the leader of the Swedish Democrats, so-called, was not invited. And the reasons are very obvious. The foundation is a private institution. It is not a part of Swedish government or the state structures or something. It's a private foundation. The private foundation invites those guests who one wants to see at the party, and does not invite those who one does not want to see at the party. And if you take the time to enter the website of that party, they have a sort of programmatic program principle, where it's stated that their ideal is a culturally and ethnically homogeneous people. Well, the one of the basic ideological positions of this institution is the words in the last will of Alfred Nobel, where he says, he wrote it in Swedish, that it is my express wish that no consideration whatsoever should be given to any kind of nationality. But the prize should be given to the most worthy, be he Scandinavian or not. So the standing of the prize was from the very beginning its character of a cosmopolitan international prize. And the absolute antithesis to ethnically and culturally and ethnically homogeneous states. So that's the simple reason. They are working 180 degrees against us, or not us, but the values we stand for.
It will oppose the Nobel's ideas.
Yes, it's clashes head on with the philosophy of this institution. Well,
this is your last year.
Yes.
you look back at what the changes?
I will look back slightly later. That is around the 1st of May when I retire. This week is not about me. This week is about the lawyers. Well? Sorry?
That is not actually very highly suitable for leaders, so they will not pay for it. They are free of dinner.
I actually...
Because my impression is there are a lot of people who have to pay.
Yes. I should know, but I haven't thought about it. The important for them is not, of course, the money, it's the invitations.
So you
don't
know?
No, I actually forgotten. I have to be honest whether they are sent a bill for as many others are.
Are you referring to ministers or?
Ministers, yes.
I don't think.
No, no, not ministers, but party leaders.
The party leaders.
I'm not sure, but the ministers are invited because they are ex officio there.
After retirement, who will be the leaders?
Sorry?
After your retirement,
yes?
In the next year, who will be the...
Who will be my successor?
Yes.
We you will know in due time. I can assure you there will be a successor. Okay. And we'll start here. Thank you very much.